Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series. That's toughmantri.com. By VeloFix.com, the world's coolest mobile bike shop. By Polar, blood, sweat, and data. By CaliforniaTriathlon.org, they've got five great 2019 race options, including Viking Dash Trail Run LA on April 7th. By our Challenged Athletes Foundation, we sent out 2,806 grants in 2018, totaling $4.3 million. Keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com or on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here. Speaking of the Tough Man Triathlon Series, we're heading into 2019 season. Perfect time to bring on the CEO and founder, Mr. Rich Izzo from the Tough Man Triathlon Series. Rich, how the heck you doing?
Fantastic, Bob, as usual.
I love it.
Great to be with you.
So I'm looking at your schedule this year. You got a lot of international. What are there, like five events in Chile and 12 events overall? It looks like a big undertaking this year.
Definitely. It's funny. As the world of triathlon changes here in the U.S. and all across the world, we're adapting and taking advantage of the opportunities, with the independent races that want to join our brand. So it's been fantastic.
So talk a little bit about the growth in Chile. When you have five events in Chile, obviously there's something about the Tough Man brand that really resonates there.
It's a young population, and we got into Chile about 5 years ago early, I think, before. I mean, there was Ironman there, obviously, but nobody else but us and them. And I think that, our partner in Chile is just one of the best race directors down there, and he saw that adding on more events would be part of our strategy to get the name out there, and so far so good. So I think that the youth, different than here where the demographic is a little older, it's a younger generation, it's excited about triathlon, they see us as a good brand to try out, and obviously they do Ironman too, which is a much bigger brand, but we're kind of like the other step, besides what they can do down there. So it's been fantastic.
So in terms of the amount of growth, talk a little about how much you have grown in the last few years, both internationally in terms of number of events.
Yeah. I mean, we started out as one event in 2008 here in New York, and then all of a sudden, due to circumstances that I would never have anticipated, but it just happened, we added on one more, and then I got the bright idea, so, maybe we can corral all the independent brands together. So from one, we went to two, then we went to five, then we went to seven. And in the United States and in South America, we had about 16 2 years ago. We dropped back down last year because licenses will do that. They'll
sure.
go through their cycle. And, unfortunately, in the United States, I think it's a very challenging market. So
yep.
I think that it's unfortunate that it's shrinking, and that's going to be part of the game. And then this year, we're going to be adding on another probably. We'll be back up to that 16 level. But mostly, that's coming from international growth.
So when you talk about your championship event, September 15th, last year was a big year. Morgan Stanley came on board. Mm-hmm. Your numbers were up significantly. Talk a little bit about the growth there in your championship event.
Well, again, I do my full-time doctor business. That's my meat and potatoes. So this triathlon thing has just been a passion play, and it's grown out of that. So, initially, we put the event in New York. It grew to about 900 before we had any major competition. And then as the sport has shrunk in and around the area and Ironman has expanded its footprint, that number dropped down to 3 years ago about 150 to 200. But luckily, we have a different tact, again, with the international racers coming. We have about 100 of them. And Morgan Stanley coming on board as a title last year, that opened up the door to corporations. So Morgan Stanley brought 170 athletes last year,
wow.
and we're looking probably double that this year for them. So we've got JP Morgan Chase coming on board this year, and it looks like Amex as well. So I think that's going forward, looking at the New York event, it used to be that the clubs used to be a big part of the event, and they still are to a certain extent, but I think the club demographic is dropping also in the U.S. So again, this just happens spontaneously.
Sure.
I treat somebody of Morgan Stanley, And it just, little by little, our name in Morgan Stanley has grown. So we're very grateful for that.
Yeah, with the corporate side of it, when you have companies like American Express and Morgan Stanley, a lot of times, because we've been immersed in the sport for so long, we forget about how impactful it is. When you see these people coming to your event from Morgan Stanley or from other corporations who have never done a triathlon in their life, and they're coming to be part of a relay team or do the whole thing themselves, what do you see in terms of the joy that this sport brings to them?
It's amazing. And, you know, what we did last year was I did a few talks at Morgan, and then we did an on-site preview where, you know, you get to meet people. They wanted to see the course. And then we did a special pickup for them at Morgan Stanley, and they just loved it. So it was kind of like door-to-door service, which we'll do for the other corporations too this year. But seeing new people get into the sport through the relay aspect of it, it's exciting. You know, it's like seeing Lifetime do their indoor triathlon, and you know, we're part of that the last couple of years, and you know, in the New York area at least. And just to see the new people into the sport, I think that's where, I mean, we should be as a sport looking at that, those alternatives or those demographics, because it, with shrinking dynamics, I think that's where, you know, the people will be to do like the Tough Mudders of the world or the Spartans of the world. We can recapture that demographic, I think, going about it this way. And there are thousands of corporations. So me bringing this up on this podcast, I don't feel like, you know, oh, wow, we've just, you know, let out a trade secret. I think this is something that it's very personal to the connections to the corporations. But it's really, we're grateful for that.
Well, we saw that with, you know, when you look at the Philly, what was the Tri-Rock Philly, and Johnson & Johnson brought 500 people out, and they had their own VIP tent, and it became, really, when you think about corporate wellness, what's a better sport than triathlon? Because it's something you can do in very little time. You can do workouts indoors. So it really, that marriage between corporations and triathlon, it seems to be a perfect fit.
It has been for us so far. And again, you know, one of the advantages of being, you know, owning the thing is that we can move pretty quickly on stuff. So I don't have a board, you know, we have a sport of an advisory board, but in reality, the advisory board's always very, very helpful in giving us suggestions, but we can move pretty quickly. And if something doesn't work, then we move on to something else. But this has never been a monetary thing, Tough Man. It's always been a passion. And I always had kind of a vision, wow, I'd really love to put a race on. And, you know, I'm really still thankful to be able to, and people will say how grueling it is, and it is, but when you see people cross the finish line, and with our kids event, which this year I'm happy to announce with the Northeast Regional USAT Championship, which should bring a couple extra hundred kids.
Wow, that's great, Rich.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. USAT is fantastic. I'm a big advocate of them, and we've been applying for years, but they want us to host it, so I think we're going to be looking at about 600 kids this year, because we normally have about 350 to 400, but we're very excited about that. So, you know, I think the kids, what, you know, they both feed on each other. The kids event and the adult event are the same weekend. And we try to convince our licensees to do the similar thing, to put a kids event on. Because as you and I have talked about in the past on these multiple podcasts, that's the future.
Yes.
So we should be supporting youth triathlon, and whether it's a splash and dash or whether it's just, I mean, we do a regular kids triathlon. But I think that's what we have to really focus on as far as getting the sport back.
Well, you've got Tough Teen, you've got Tough Kids, Tough Man. Those brands are all great. It's funny, this last couple weeks I've been going to the collegiate races here in Southern California. We had one at UC Irvine, UCLA has one, and just seeing the enthusiasm from the college kids for our sport, because a lot of times we look at our demographics and it's, you know, 45 plus for the people who are participating in our events. And when you see these, you know, not just teenagers you know, 8 and 10-year-olds, but you see college kids just loving this sport, it makes you feel confident for the future.
Yeah, look, we're hopeful that collegiate demographic will eventually bump up into half distance, because what I've seen, we've tried to go into that niche, and right now they focus on the Olympics.
Right.
But doing a half distance is kind of difficult, because it narrows down the number of people that, you know, these are not sprint people, these are not Olympic people. So it really makes it very difficult, you know, because you are competing against, you know, Ironman, which is a big brand. But again, I never think of us as competing with them. I think of us as coexisting with them and being sort of complementary to them. So, you know, that's always been my attitude, and I think it always will be.
So as somebody who does this, because very few, when you look at the challenge group and you look at Ironman, they're full. Those guys are all full-time. They got full-time staff and the whole bit. Mm-hmm. You're a one-man army. You're doing this on your own, and you're working full-time. Sort of your side hustle a little bit. Well, talk a little bit about that challenge. Has there been times when you thought, you know what, I've got to go full-on on this?
You know, it's funny. I love practice. I love treating patients. And if I can change the world one patient at a time as a chiropractor, then that's what I've always loved. So I feel like if we do that with our races, we're affecting people in a little bit bigger way. But we have a tremendous team here in New York. I mean, I have over 30 people that work the weekend, and most of them are full-timers and other things. They just do the race because they love doing it. They love being part of it. But that team has been with me for 12 years. We're going on our 13th year, and we're always adding good people. You know, as events shed, you know, there's always people out there that want to work per diem for the weekend. So, you know, my creative director and my athlete services person work really more full-time. But, again, my creative director does a full-time gig, you know, for other people, and she works for me part-time. And my athlete services person is a hospice nurse. So, you know, these are people that just love the sport. They're very good at it. They know exactly what they need to do. We have monthly meetings, so we have a lot of communication. And I think just having a great race plan and having really great people allows me to be able to do other things like practice. But beyond that, to be able to travel to the events and to be able to get, you know, to expand the brand. So, and again, I'm lucky enough at this point where our travel now, it's not just me. I have four or five other people that travel to events that represent the brand and go and help out wherever they're needed and do Facebook and social media and all that other stuff at an event. So I think we you don't have to necessarily be full-time at this at the level we're at. Now, of course, if we're 40 or 50 events and, you know, if that time ever comes, then I guess we'll have to make decisions. But I don't know. I mean, I'll leave that to Ironman. I'll leave that to Challenge. I think we fulfill a good part of the niche that we're in. And, you know, I'm very happy to be doing what I'm doing.
So talk a little bit about the championship event, because I think people, event September 15th, and it's I mean, you're, what, half an hour away from downtown, from Times Square. Talk a little bit about, because when it says championship, I think people feel like, oh, gosh, can I just sign up for this, or do I have to be qualify somewhere? How do you get into that event?
Yeah, both. I mean, we have an open enrollment for people that just want to race. Mm-hmm. We have a new corporate division that we're actually formally rolling out this year for the Morgan Stanleys and the Amexes of the world or anybody else that wants to compete.
Sure.
And then we've got a special elite wave, whatever you want to call it, first wave that competes for cash. And you can only get into that if you've qualified at an event other than the one in New York, which, you know, again, we want to feed our licensees with something,
right,
with a draw to their event. And, again, it's small. You know, maybe we had 75, 80 people last year that were part of that, but it was still 25% of the race. So, you know, according to USAT, you can only give out a certain amount of money if you don't have a pro race. So we give out just underneath that. So this way I can give out a nice fat check to the overall male and female winner, and we go five deep. So if you can come, whether you're, you know, from Utah or you're from Chile, I mean, we had lots of people from Chile last year, and you can win a $1,500 check. You know, part of the deal is when they qualify, you know, we'll put them up in a hotel. We take care of their meals. So the overall winners of all the Tough Man events get that.
Wow.
And reciprocally, this year we're rolling out, and I wanted to discuss that all the Chile races, the first five people that register outside the United States will get a hotel room and meals. And right now we've had three people register for the Futrona race. And our Arica race in June is our South America championship. So, you know, I wanted to make his race very special this year because it's been growing and he's got five races. And I think that that's an added draw regionally to make more people come to that June race. So now we've got a June South America championship in Arica, and that's northern Chile.
Uh-huh.
And we've got the September New York championship, and that's for the all the races themselves that get, you know, maybe 50, 60 spots. But it's still growing, and, you know, we didn't expect when we started this thing that it would just, you know, boom, you know, all of a sudden, because that's not my experience in anything in life, you know. I think I failed a lot more times than I've succeeded, but I've always learned from failure, and we just keep on reworking it until it gets better.
So when people think about an event in the New York City area, they think a concrete jungle type of race. Like New York City Tri is awesome because you're in, mm-hmm, you know, you're Hudson and you're running Central Park, et cetera. But you're in this beautiful park where it's sort of out of nowhere, because you're talk a little bit about the course itself, because I think people are always taken by surprise just how beautiful the area is.
Yeah, well, our previous course was in Croton, and we had to shut down major roads, and for 9 years we did that, and just police and permits were costing me over $125,000.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, that became untenable when our numbers started to drop. And, you know, the other thing, too, is you say, for what we're doing here, is there a better alternative? So 4 years ago, we scouted around, and we found Harriman State Park, which, you know, unbeknownst to me, everybody from New York City trains in Harriman State Park. And all summer long. So Dan Honig, I'm not sure if you know Dan.
Yeah, I remember that name, yeah.
Dan was the New York Triathlon CEO, and God, he's the original, quote, Iron Man, because he's been around for 30-something years.
Right.
Dan retired, and I always helped Dan out, you know, in small things here and there. I used to help out with bag pickup, this, that, the other thing, and Dan and I used to talk, and Dan said, you know, don't tell anybody, but I'm retiring, and my venue is going to be available, so maybe you want to go over there and take a peek at it. Because it's not easy to get that venue because, you know, you can't go there between Memorial Day and Labor Day to State Park.
Right.
And all the dates before Memorial Day, it's freezing.
Right.
After Labor Day,
it's
all
freezing.
The dates are taken.
Yeah. Oh,
and
that's right. Yeah.
Well, they're taken, you know. I mean, it's beautiful weather. We've never had a nasty weather day yet, you know. I mean, maybe a little overcast. But so I went down to the park and met with the Barks people, and, you know, Dan rolled out the red carpet for them for me. So I'm indebted to Dan forever. You know, that's one thing, you know, when people help you in this world, you have to go out of your way for them. So last year, Dan, they asked him to do the Pauline Triathlon. He calls me on the phone. He says, I don't have any equipment. I sold everything. You know, can you rent me your equipment? What will it cost? I said, for you, nothing.
Right.
You know, it's just
exactly.
You know, that's what you do. You know, I said, look, anything you need, anytime, you just let me know. And so we try to have relationships like that with other race directors. You know, we live in a circular world. So we try to talk to other race directors. I talk to a lot of race directors on Long Island to try to work with them because, look, we're all in this together, and it's about the sport, but it's about just, you know, making sure that, look, they're small businesses. We're a small business. So we try to work together with people. But, no, it's been great. You know, the New York event, we're expecting between 400 and 500 again this year for the adult race and probably 600 for the kids race.
Oh, so you'd be that'd be great to be over 1,000
yeah.
there.
Yeah, it's you know, again, I look at the numbers because you obviously have to pay the bills, but it's never really been a monetary thing. It's always been like, okay, well, we want to start to do something the right way, build it. And being so close to New York City, you know, it really is the ideal location to come and train at and to race in September. But, you know, there are other options out there. You know, there's Atlantic City, there's Maine, there's Lake Placid. But if you don't want to travel 3 hours south or 5 hours north, 25 minutes, you know, you can roll out of bed, and if you're in the tri-state area, and pretty much be back at home and have a great event. So, you know, last year we had over 1,000 volunteers. So, in West Point Military Academy provides 600 volunteers. Kings Point Military Academy last year, they were the entire run course. They brought 400 volunteers. We had the ham radio guys from Rockland County. I mean, again, because I like doing it, we make sure everything is done perfectly if we can. And, you know, post-race, there's a massage school that comes and brings 30 students. There's a beer garden that, you know, Captain Lawrence, the local craft brewer, brings, and they donate the beer. We do a full barbecue. So, yeah, I'd love to see this event to have 2,000 people.
Right.
But, you know, we're realistic, too. I mean, we want to put a nice grassroots event on, and, look, you know, we don't compete with Ironman. We're that local alternative that, you know, if you're from Chile and, you know, you want to travel to New York City and spend the weekend in New York City, you can have a Tough Man race in New York and, you know, have your hotel taken care of and food taken care of. And, you know, I think it's a good thing to just get more people into the sport.
No question. So talk a little about your U.S. races. You got one in Ohio, one in Minnesota, one in South Carolina, one in Tennessee. Talk a little about those guys.
Well, our new race for the year, the race director from the Triple T, Shannon Correct, finally, after years and years of talking with Shannon, he jumped on board with us. He moved locations, so he's now in Salt Fork Park, which is a beautiful location in southeast Ohio, very close to Cincinnati, very close to Indiana, and we like having a footprint in the Midwest. And Shannon does the Triple T, and Tough Man Ohio will be the third day. Used to be called Little Smokies, now it'll be Tough Man Ohio. And I think we're going to be, you know, getting a lot of people from that event to come to the New York event, and likewise, you know, sending people over to Ohio for a nice June 2nd event. The other events, South Carolina is down in Columbia, and Jeremy Davis from Setup Events joined us 2 years ago. And, you know, it's a point-to-point venue. It's a small group of people, you know, maybe 150 for the half, and he does a sprint and Olympic. But, you know, he does Setup Events, so he knows what he's doing. I mean, these are the quality race directors that we have on board. And, you know, we're very, very happy to be in South Carolina. In Tennessee, we're just outside of Knoxville. And last year, when I guess the Chattanooga event had a problem with the swim, we sent an email out and did a special thing for that event. And he got an extra 200 people within 48 hours.
Nice.
So, well, this is the advantage of us doing the marketing for all these races. We can move very quickly when something happens, and we can adapt to the situation. So if somebody has a campaign they want to run, we have over 150,000 on our email list. So, you know, this, when you pool resources, this is the advantage of joining under one banner. And, again, this is what my pitch is to all of them. And I continue to pitch race directors, not only in the United States and South America, but we might have a little news to tell in the next podcast, but because we might just be announcing something major outside of both of those areas. So I'll leave you with that teaser.
Nice way to tease. That's a great way to throw to the end of the show. Hey, so Rich, thanks again for all your support, for what you're doing, for growing triathlon. I love what's happening on the international side, but also what's going on with when it's one thing for Morgan Stanley to come on board, it's another thing for Morgan Stanley to stay on board. Obviously, when they're talking about doubling their numbers from last year to this year, last year went well, and they're looking forward to doing even more. And that corporate part of this, that is the growth area of our sport.
Hey, Bob, as usual, thanks for giving us your megaphone and, you know, just getting the word out to people. I think it's invaluable. And we really appreciate all the advice that you've given us in the past and friendship. So I can't say enough about that. And again, you know, we don't do this because of the money. We do this for the love of it. So anything, like, we try to give back, you know, anything we can do, you know, we're there.
Love it. Rich Izzo has been our guest. Again, we're brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series. That's toughmantri.com. By VeloFix.com, the world's coolest mobile bike shop. By Polar, blood, sweat, and data. CaliforniaTriathlon.org, five great 2019 race options, including Viking Dash Trail Run LA on April 7th. By our Challenge Athletes Foundation, this last year we sent out 2,806 grants, totaling $4.3 million to keep challenge athletes in a game of life through sport. Go to challengeathletes.org for all of our information and to help out. And you can check out any of our interviews on iTunes or at babbittville.com. As always, endurance lives here.